Jingles. Live from Joe Arrow's basement, this is John Fitzpatrick, clearly in need of something better to do.
All right, welcome to the TK Jingles podcast for February 23rd, 2018. We are doing the April Asininity 2018 Bracket Deathmatch Extravaganza. I'm joined today by Steve Lipton, Jason Fuse, and Robert Berg, and we are going to run through the 64, I guess I wouldn't call them the best, but 64 choosiest songs that we've selected in our bracket challenge here. So, just to catch everybody up on the rules here, we did this last year. We were going to pick these songs, and it's not a bracket like March Madness where you're picking a winner at the end, but we're asking everybody who listens to this, everybody that's a fan of these stupid songs, to go ahead and vote on their favorites and help us crown a champion. We made a few changes this year. The first is that the winner of last year, Balding Jordan Spieth, was an automatic disqualifier, so I'm sure that will upset a few people. But
I will not
that,
be one
that
of them.
Song will not be in the group of 64, and we've changed the bracket. So last year we had four regions. Jason was the regional manager for Friends and Enemies. Then we had Steve in charge of Old Guy Radio / News, which basically just became the Steve Can't Follow Directions region.
What?
Then
what?
Then myself in charge of the faxes, notes, and crap. And then we had Robert Berg in charge of Unaired and Miscellaneous. So we've kept the Friends and Foes and the Old Man Song / Old Guy Radio section. We've added two new sections. The Family Business will be taking over for emails, faxes, notes. And these are songs about Tony's fame, the new podcast, the restaurant, all those miscellaneous vanity projects. And then
mistakes.
The Unaired Miscellaneous bracket has been officially renamed as the Steve Can't File Directions region. So this is a grab bag of just random crap. Vintage mailbag songs, Gary song, whatever else we put in there, People's Choice, things from before. And so what we're going to do now, if you guys, unless you have anything else you want to add is up front. Oh, I guess I should just say that if you want to vote on this, and I assume you probably know the URL because you're already here, but you can find this at littlesongs.net/bracket. And you can go there and put in your votes in each round, and we'll be keeping track of all this on the Twitter and the Facebook. So, the first region, guys, and I'll turn it over to you here if you have anything else that I might have missed, but first region we're going to go into is the Friends and Foes, which is the Jason Fuse bracket. But anything else you guys want to add, just to maybe introduce yourselves or any other commentary here about all the hard work you put in to get ready for tonight?
Well, Steve can't screw it up this time, because if Steve can't follow directions, anything goes, right?
I've prepped like I've never prepped before.
Right.
And I've never prepped before.
Okay. I think what you mean, I think there's supposed to be like a comma in there, because you've prepped like you've never had to prep before, I think is what you're saying. Or you've never, you know, it's never been necessary to prep. So that's how you're prepping. So
like, I'm all natural. Yeah. All natural, baby.
Yes. We're putting the second city to shame here with Steve's improvisational techniques as he makes it up as he goes along.
I have a question.
I wish I had some help from people.
I have a question. Are we keeping the 2017 bracket up in case people want to look at what happened last year? Because you said the URL is just
I've
bracket.
I've shared a link there, and I'll put one on the website. If you go to littlesongs.net/bracket/2017.aspx.
Gotcha, okay.
Which is a little bit awkward of URL, but it's all available right now. And in fact, last year, I had done some preparation for this show, but not nearly as much as you, Robert. So this year, I have the 2017 bracket printed in front of me, along with some notes and commentary on some of the critical matchups that happened. And I have actually prepared a rogue version of every other bracket that you guys will be discussing so that I can provide my own insight, feedback, and criticism as we go throughout this. So we should have a lot of really useful and engaging and exciting content over the next 4 hours of this show.
That sounds like us. Useful and what was the other descriptor?
Something. I wasn't paying attention.
Valuable, wonderful.
Valuable. I think it might have been valuable.
Long-winded, in my case. I'm first. Yep. I'm going to go friends and... That's my bracket, right?
Yeah, friends and foes. Okay. And so let us have it.
I would just like to say, as with all the changes this year, I'm just glad that literally nothing... in my case changed. I have the same bracket and it's basically not the same thing, which is awesome because I can reuse a lot of stuff from last year. But instead of doing that, I just decided to just kind of pick four or five from last year and then just kind of throw a bunch more in there and just see what happens. Mix it up a little bit. So for the first seed in this bracket, I went with, I believe, is the name of this Reginald Throws Poo, or is it, Rob, it's your jingle. So is it that, or is it something
going
about
to
the,
zoo?
At the zoo?
Going to the zoo.
Again? Going to the zoo.
Going to the zoo. You haven't listened in about a year and a half, right?
Say what?
You haven't listened to the show in about a year and a half, so a lot of these are going to be confusing for you.
But yeah.
I have a question. I do have a question. Much like I have a piano, is that an original song, or is that
It is not an original song. It is a folk song called Going to the Zoo. It's a children's song. And the first
I
line...
Think they think it's an original song, though, which is why they play it every week.
Tony, if you're listening, it's an original song.
I believe when I sent it to Mark, I whenever I send them in, I always send the title of the jingle and then the song that it is based off of. So I...
Oh, you sent him the actual song?
No. I like if...
The title of it.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Gotcha. So like the panda jingle that I sent in, I would put in parentheses Dirty Diana by Michael Jackson in case it's something that Satch doesn't know and if he wants to mention it or if it just helps them locate a song.
Right.
So with that one, I probably... Well, actually, I don't know that I did. Originally, I thought they wanted a Chuck Todd song. So I have a Chuck Todd song... It's like it was like 20 seconds because that's what he asked for. He's like, just send us a jingle for about 20 seconds long. And it was the NFL Films music. The song's called Roundup. Mm-hmm. And so it was about how Chuck Todd was just, you know, he's unqualified. And it just went with the melody of the Roundup song. And then I sent it. And as soon as I sent it, I looked at the return subject, and I realized that he wanted a Reginald song. So this is the only jingle that I actually turned around in 10 minutes. So I went and found, I was just thinking, well,
Joe Arrow's basement,
I need something about a zoo. And I found this song, and I was like, oh yeah, this will work. And I lifted the first line, the scritch, scritch, scratchin' is an original line in that song. And then I found an instrumental, and it's not folksy. It's like, it almost sounds like it was on a children's show. It has that kind of vibe to it.
So you're basically describing Paul McCartney writing Golden Slumbers, like finding some old sheet music and deciding, I'm going to make this into something else and take this old folk song and make it into some pop song.
I was on a deadline. So, and it just, why would they think that's original? I'm not a musician.
Well, I mean, you have access to musicians. You've surpassed Patrick Moffitt's Cajun. I hear the Cajun coming. That's, I think, the most played song next to Gary's theme.
Oh, yeah. I never thought about that because it's theme music.
Yep. See, I was on that email chain too, and I thought what you thought, which was a Chuck Todd song. So that's what I wrote, and I actually did an original Chuck Todd song. But then I never recorded it because I got busy. And then by the time I got back around to it, I was like, oh, it's a original song. And then you'd sent yours in. I'm like, I'm not doing this then. I'm out. Well, there's no need to do this.
You should put your Chuck Todd song in the bracket.
That should totally be in this bracket. Up against
just because it hasn't been recorded or released.
It's on the bubble. it's already on the bubble. Okay. That's one of my bubble songs.
Oh, Jesus.
So going to the zoo, Reginald Throws Poo is number one. In the friends and enemies, because Reginald is a friend of the show, or an enemy, either way you want to look at it. And number two,
hold on,
you want to go? Do you want to go 16 and do the matchup?
Yeah. In my quest to compete with Robert Berg, in my preparation, I listened to the entire episode of the 2017 April Asininity bracket in preparation for the show. And I was the only dumbass that actually went 1 through 16. The rest of you guys all said, oh, no, we should do matchups. And so Since I kicked it off, I did what you're about to do there and went 1 through 16. But then I think Berg or somebody came in next and said, well, actually, it would probably be more compelling to describe the matchups that are going to occur. So it went 1-16, 2-15. So I would suggest you go with that. What's number 16? 16, what is Reginald Throws Poo going to crush?
Yeah, it's going to crush. It's the sacrificial lamb of, and since it's going to get crushed, I thought I'd throw one in there that I have a sentimental attachment to, which is The Orchid on the Mound, Volume 2, written by Patrick Moffitt, and it's a full-length jingle. It's like 3.5 minutes of a Ben Folds 5 song that Patrick wrote the lyrics to, and John Nicewinger and I played all the instruments to. So it's original. I wanted to get some sort of original, not original music, but actually a music track that we played in there.
What's up, Muzak?
So you
something that wasn't Muzak or yeah, you know, karaoke.
So you and put so a Patrick 4 minute song against a 20 second song. The 20 second song is going to win. It doesn't even matter what the 20 second song is.
100%. It's the juxtaposition of the whole thing. I like the chaos and just throwing things in there. So that's what's funny to me. Then next would be number 8. Is number 8, is that next?
You can do 215.
Okay.
Yeah. 215,
so,
I think, yeah.
At number 2, Mr. Avocado, which is Jerry doing the ode to Tim Kirkjian.
You should send that in again.
Mr. Roboto.
Should send that in again.
You should send it again. Yes, they're going to have Kirkjian.
That never got played?
No.
Is it, never can you played. Cut it to a minute?
He can cut it to 10 minutes.
Yeah, because the funny thing about it to me is just you continue, and it just goes on forever at the end.
Yeah, no, I sent a podcast-friendly version, and it actually made it through the legal filters and all that nonsense and was set to air, but for whatever reason, they didn't do it or they changed their mind. So I will, good suggestion.
Yes. So that's number 2 versus...
Is that the best jingle that hasn't aired? I mean, it has to be, right?
It's close.
I mean, everyone's got an opinion about what the best jingle is. Usually mine is whatever the last one I just did is the best one ever.
Well, speaking of recency bias, we're going to talk about that in my bracket here in a minute.
There you go. Hey, that's we call that a professional something.
Foreshadowing.
We call that a professional something.
I told you I was going to be good.
Jesus.
So number 15 for me is the play-in. Whoever wins at the play-in, and you know, usually the play-in, you know, and it's typically like the NCAA, they just throw in to whatever. It's
two scraps.
They're on the bubble. They're barely got in the tournament, so one's going to make it, and one, you know, is not going to be disappointed because they didn't expect to make it anyway. So for the play-in game in my region, we have "I Hear the Cajun Coming" by Patrick Moffitt. Like you said, up until recently, was the most played jingle on the site of all time. And "Trots, Trots, Trots" by Neil and Joe. So that's the play-in game that gets the 15th seed in my bracket.
Yeah, it seems like a logical choice. That was one of the round of 8 showdowns last year. Cajun, I think, was a number 1 seed, and Trots was a number 2 or 4 or something like that.
I think
that.
It was 4.
What's that second song?
Yeah.
I hadn't...
You've not heard that one?
No.
Okay, guys, it's Joe. I wanted to advise all of you so-called bracketeers that the law firm of Neil and Rockville, they're currently seeking the transcripts from last year's April Asininity competition as to that ridiculous upset of Trots, Trots, Trots. Don't let it happen again.
Does that make sense?
Is that like an Eastern European region? Never mind.
It's Foxtrot.
It's a reference to the hockey team, but I've never
explain it. Yeah. That didn't go quite like I wanted. My brain just froze there and the beach ball of death like or whatever that's called that's just was spinning.
Is that the title of this podcast?
How am I going to get out of this bit?
Okay. Number 4? You want to go 4-13 or you going to 8-9?
This would be 3-14, I believe, now.
Okay.
This is going so well.
Yes. 3-14.
I'm writing these numbers down because I'm gonna blow it too if I don't.
Okay.
See 8-9.
So 3-14 for me is number 3, "Paint It Black" by John Fitzpatrick. And classic. I believe who wrote that? John helped write it, but John sings it. Mickey, I think it was the original idea. Great song about David Aldridge. And then verses number 14, Africa for Luke by Joe Arrow, which is a more recent song, talking about Luke being in the jungle and wishing he was not. And one of my favorite lines in that is when he rhymes Tanzania with cheetah. That's pretty good. Like that one. Number four, is that what comes after three?
Wow, you're on top of things tonight. Yes,
I'm prepared.
You're not. This isn't the way the bracket's supposed to go, but just keep rolling.
Sure,
that's a very professional something.
Yes,
it's 116.89, 413.512. That's how that goes.
Yeah, I'm doing 413.
Yeah, but you did three, then you did four. That's not the way that works.
No, he did. Number 14 was Africa for Luke. Now it's number three.
Right, but the 3 and 14 doesn't belong in the region with the 116. It belongs in the bottom with the 2.
Right, but I'm just going by the...
he's counting down 1,
2,
16,
3.
2, 15, 3, 14, 4, 13. He's not doing the matchups.
Okay, my bad.
We don't actually have
I wasn't really paying close attention earlier in the podcast, so that's my bad.
That's right. Gary will explain the math to you at some point. Yeah.
I'm not paying attention now.
Okay.
Number four, Wilbon's World by Jerry and Michelle, which is,
excellent
great.
Choice.
Yes.
Excellent choice.
Yes. One of the all-time, crowd-pleasing favorites and great jingles. And going against a newcomer, number 13, Go to Hell, Chuck Bell by Patrick Moffitt, which is when Patrick does Pink Floyd, I'm in. So I had to put that one in there. So that's going to lose to, Wilbon's World, of course. That's how these 413s go. Number five is something called 3DP by somebody named Jason.
Ah, excellent choice.
Versus number 12, Stashing Grapes in My Boots by KJ, which is so new that it was just posted, I think. I put it on my bracket before it was even posted to the site because I knew she was going to post it today. And I wanted to throw some recency bias in there and just put in the last jingle that was posted to the site. My bracket is mostly older stuff, so I wanted to, bring down the average age of the jingles in my bracket because I hear that's good in basketball is to have a lower average age of your team. And this is kind of my team in my region. And plus, it's a good jingle. I really like it. So
you're going to do well in the NBA finals.
Yes.
Is that a reference to something that happened in the show this week that I didn't catch?
It's a jingle about Liz when she called in.
No. Like, no. I mean, having a young team.
No.
Oh.
No, you're assuming that the three of us listen to the show. I don't think that.
And you would be mostly incorrect.
Okay.
No, it has not happened on the show.
Okay.
No, I think that's just Jason's bias. We want to go younger. That's a.
Yes. Yes. 100%.
That's a general sports thing.
Okay. So five, number six. Number six. Annie Song by Sean, which is for Anna Hornaday. It's, pretty classic. It's been played in multiple times for Anne. I've heard it at least a couple times, so I'm assuming it's been more than that. And then number 11, versus number 11, Phelps Prince, a Nigel song, which is written by Hunting the Snark, which I believe is Jonathan Scriven. Is that who that is?
No, I think that's Chad Reuter.
Oh, okay.
He writes for NFL.com.
Oh, okay. Which is one of the great ideas that was posted on the ideas page of the site a few years ago.
Is that the Fresh Prince?
Yes.
Phelps song? We should listen to that.
Yes.
Mm.
This is John Fitzpatrick, Washington correspondent for Pro Jinglers Weekly. This next track charted at number one in Gabookistan.
Now this is a story all about how I got stranded at a party outside of town. I'd like to take a minute and with Tony's help, I'll tell you how I became the enemy of the jerk, Michael Phelps. Outside of Baltimore, out in the sticks, at a party, the year was 2006. Hanging out, drinking, feeling all cool. Met a guy who was pretty good in the pool. But the night got late, and that was really no good. The shuttles stopped running like I thought they would. They were done for the night, and that's when I got scared that me and my friends would be stranded out there. I went back outside, and to my great surprise, there's Michael Phelps' limo. He had us a ride. But when I tried to climb in, he lowered the boom. He shut me right out. Yo, man, no more room.
We were stuck at the house of Jewel 3 hours later. Finally got a ride from someone who had catered. But screw Michael Phelps, I really hate that guy. I can't wait till he gets his next DWI.
We just listened to it.
So, yeah. Yeah, we just listened to it.
Wow, that was so good.
That guy's voice sounded familiar to me. I can't quite place it, but yeah. But that's a jingle that I really enjoyed the writing and was just surprised. I was like, saw that on the ideas page and was like blown away by how good it was, just being on the ideas page. So that was a fun
one. No, Hunting the Snark is not, no, because that guy's in Cypress, Texas, and Chad's in Wisconsin. My bad.
Okay, cool. Well, Hunting the Snark, if that's your username on littlesongs.net, is it net?
You are so plugged in this year, Jason. Yes.
It is net. It is net.
Yeah, .com wasn't available.
Good catch.
It was like a...
It's late at night.
Yeah.
And I'm putting my full effort into this. Usually, I podcast standing up, and now I'm actually laying down to podcast, so giving it really the full 100%.
Is this an anti-gravity podcast?
It's a laying on the floor podcast. But if we know who that is, if you're hearing this and you wrote that song, you know, let us know. I don't know how you'd actually contact us, but I'm sure there's some way.
Twitter.
Tweet at Jerry.
You'll be in the 2019 program. We'll be mentioned by name.
Yes. So a year later, we'll get your name right.
Yeah, when we're smallsongs.org.
EDU.
Right. TinyTunes.us.
TinyTunes. There's no way that's available.
Number 7, You Gotta Draft Chance King, written by Robert Berg, sung by KJ and Robert Berg. One of the coolest background vocal songs, jingles, mix of vocals and stuff is pretty cool in that one. I like that one a lot.
It took me 4 hours to record that, the background vocals.
It took you how long?
It took me 4 hours because I couldn't stop coughing. And even with sucking on a cough drop, I had a cough that just like a cold that was really bad. And
You got a draft Chance King has coughing in it?
No, it has cough drops sounds in it. Oh.
He was trying to keep from coughing. It's the other one that.
Oh, wait, it does have coughing in it. I forgot that.
Does it?
At the
end. King almost died on air, has a lot of coughing in it.
There's coughing in the Chance one, too. I just remembered. Yeah, at the end.
Yeah. I remember we did those background vocals at one of the Jingle Fests. I think it was a couple of years ago.
It was in 2016.
KJ. Yeah, and it was like, it's a lot. It's you got to take breaths in the right places. It'll you know take the wind out of you trying to do all that and get it right.
Yeah, didn't we have to have signals so that one of us was always doing the background vocals at one point?
Yeah, we were overlapping,
Yeah.
To make sure it wasn't dropping out.
You know, we've been doing this now, some of us, for almost 5 years. And I remember at I think it was last year's Jingle Fest, and, you know, as a plug, we'll be doing that again this June. But at last year's Jingle Fest, Sean Morrissey made a comment to me. I was asking him about one of his songs, and he said, "Oh, God, I have no idea. I never listened to my own material." I said, "Wait a minute. What?" I said, "Yeah, I don't listen to my own stuff. It's like, that's how I entertain myself. Like, I've got like 350 songs. I listen to those all the time because I remember what Tony said, but if I listen to a song I recorded 4 years ago, it's new to me. I'm like, this is hilarious."
Oh, yeah. So, I've done that with original songs where I've heard my wife or somebody, a friend of mine playing something in their car, or I've heard it, you know, go places and hear, and I'd be like, "Oh, that sounds pretty cool. I wonder what that is." And I'm like, "Oh, that's me."
Yeah.
So I'm an idiot.
Yeah. Well, no, but it's, you know, obviously you appeal to your own, you know, musical taste or sense of humor or whatever you're going to call it, but I'll hear a lyric and go, "Oh, I can't believe I wrote that. That's really good."
Yeah, you surprise yourself. Yeah.
I rarely say that about my jingles.
But yeah, it sounds like
you're more speed, Steve.
Not how everybody approaches this stuff. So.
I do. I understand that. And number 7, You Got a Draft Chance King, which is, you know, written by Robert, is going up against number 10, the 10th seed, I Don't Want to Wait, Silas's Creek, to the Dawson's Creek theme song, also written by Rob Berg.
One of the all-time great video accompaniments.
Yes.
You know, we're going to try, if you guys don't mind, we're going to try something here, because this is Rob on Rob. And so I think, you know, we should bring someone in to comment on Rob. Now, hopefully this won't blow out your ears, because this could go really bad.
Is this Seoul?
We're probably feedback in the Skype call. But
this is exciting.
Well,
I literally have my hands on earbuds, getting ready to whip them out of my ears.
I've reached my first goal then. Okay, are you ready?
Hammer it.
Here's a little surprise.
Yeah,
sure. Oh, here we go.
Incomparable? Yeah. I think it's actually pronounced incompetent.
Seriously?
I wonder who that could be. That sounds really familiar. Like somebody chance you live with.
Somebody's going to have to go to bed without a hug and a kiss.
I was already expecting to go to bed without a hug and a kiss, but if you're willing to compromise, you can come hug and kiss me.
Well, this is going to go on.
Oh, you weren't talking about me. Sorry, Dev. Anyway.
But thanks for that, Steve. Much appreciated.
Nice. Sorry to interrupt. Go on, Jason.
So not only does Rob have to suffer through that, he will end up knocking himself out in the first round. Because
I'm guaranteed to advance.
Avoid that. Say what?
I'm guaranteed to advance, though.
Yeah, I appreciate that you're looking at the bright side of it.
I actually don't like a lot of my jingles, but I like both of these ones.
Yeah.
That's all I have to say about that.
All right. Number 8.
Unlike Jerry, I don't just...
Yeah.
Yeah, Jerry loves all of his.
I kind of do. Yeah, that's why I do this.
I can appreciate both.
Siri, play AARP.
Number 8, the 8 seed in my bracket, is Loyal, written by KJ. Ah. But I don't want to do the KJ record, the version she originally recorded, because, you know, that's easy. So I'm going to put this other guy in there who covered it, and we listen to just a little bit of that now, so you get a kind of feel for that. It's a little bit different than KJ's version, but she wrote it, and it's all credit to her, and I just... or whoever this other guy is, just kind of ripped her off.
Already had two other songs in this bracket anyway, so I think you're making a good choice there.
Hey, you know what? Who's ready for another comment on, say, you know, people?
Don't say people in general, yeah. Right. Let's make some comments on people in general.
Okay. Here we go.
Do you have any general comments?
Whenever Tony Kornheiser takes a day off from the podcast, I love to listen to the multi-talented KJ Onstead on Speaking of Tangents. KJ and that other guy.
I love that Steve spent like 30 seconds filling out a bracket, but then obviously went to all this trouble to like solicit MP3 files and
exactly
and audio samples to build this whole narrative.
I don't think that I have ever seen anyone prepare for a bracket show the way that Steve Lipton did this year. Outstanding.
That's how I roll. That's right.
So
basically that was Anthony Beeson ripping on you, Jason.
Oh, excellent. That was the perfect fit. That would have been a perfect, you know, segue, timing, you know, seamless show production. Because, you know, it was me covering KJ. So,
Jason, for the three people that are still listening, now that you've monopolized like 50 minutes for one bracket or whatever, can you close out? What is number 9?
Number 9 is... Just Once, A Red Lobster Tale by John Fitzpatrick, about Gene McManus going to Red Lobster.
Which I did not realize had not aired.
No, really? That was a really popular one at the Jingle Fest, though. That was awesome.
Oh, that was great. Yeah, that's one of the highlights.
Live is great.
Fitzpatrick has been on fire this year, too.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I mean, major shout out to John, and we'll get to this later, but so my region, the family business region, when I first did it, I had to completely gut the thing and start over because it was almost all John Fitzpatrick and myself because mine are all awesome.
I'd heard about resting bitch face, but until I met Jerry, I didn't know that resting condescension face was an actual thing. I mean, you don't even need to see it. You can hear it.
But
you guys are both slurping like almost the family
everything
business.
Was the two of us. And like, well, this isn't going to work. But John really has just been killing it here while the rest of you just kind of, you know, sit back and fire up, a half court shot every month or so.
We're living John off our riches, our royalties, our jingle royalties.
They took away my quick turnaround. What do I have left, Jerry?
That's true.
You didn't have much before.
So, all right. Well, Jason, I've got a couple of notes here.
I'm sure you do. I'm sure it does.
I feel like in terms of addressing the friends and foes, last year, one of the major criticisms was we did not have any Raju songs. And once again, we left out Raju.
Well, so, yeah, I see your point there. And I think my counterpoint would have to just be Raju deserves to be left out. So
that's fair.
Touche. That's good. We have nothing on Junior. I was really hoping we have 16 Hallelujah songs.
Well, Junior blocked me on Twitter, so I don't
did
know.
Did he really?
Did he really? No.
He blocked
a lot of people recently.
Jen Babish and like four or five other people who were telling me they got blocked by
What's
him.
Awesome about that is the reason that Junior is now blocking people is if you refer to him as Junior.
As Junior,
and
I know.
What perhaps he does not realize is when he came on the podcast, his entire lead-in, his lead-out, half of the interchange between our conversations was references to him as Junior. I might have called him John when I talked to him, but everything else, I mean, the freaking episode name is Junior. And
because that's how everybody who listens to Tony's show knows him.
Right. And it's not meant to be any kind of put down or whatever.
No. I didn't think it was a bad thing. I didn't think that he disliked it all that much. I thought it was more like just him and Tony, you know, just good-natured ribbing each other. But apparently he hates it.
It really pisses him off. Yeah.
So now I'm going to call him that on Twitter until he blocks me, I guess.
All right. And then I'll go through my last three comments here, and then I'll turn it over to Steve, who I'm sure has been keeping a journal of detailed feedback that he wants to get into.
if I can't play these clips, I'm...
He's got a clip that tells him about what he had to say.
I assume most people are only listening to this nonsense to see how utterly unprepared Steve is. Again.
I've got three more. So, with the Cheese Boy, I felt we could get something in there with Patrick Moffat, dedicated follower of cheeses.
Yeah.
Something with Chessie, because there was a lot of Chessie stuff last few years.
Yeah.
And John Fitzpatrick's Chessie's Herd would have been a great choice. Great. And then the crossover classic... Hey Wendy about Brian Windhorst. I was hoping to squeeze that in here because that's one of the few little songs / jingles that aired on a different show.
Redacted jingles.
Yeah,
because it aired on Windhorst's podcast or his radio show, right?
They played it twice. Yeah.
Wow.
It was hilarious. And
the most played little song in the history of Brian Windhorst's podcast.
That's a good point.
I've got the Reginald Throws Poo of the Windhorst show.
The title, the title belt. That's like the intercontinental title belt, though. If we have to be honest. It's not the real championship.
Yeah.
But all those are valid, very valid points. Yes, you're correct.
But otherwise,
if only I had, you know, like six more slots.
Well, and then lastly, I feel like you did a pretty good job with the seating. A few of these, though, feel like were just totally random. Number 14,
that
Africa.
That can't be true.
For Luke, I feel like that's in the top eight. That should be a favorite. Not an underdog. I think that Painted Black
wrong.
Is going to win, but that song deserved to at least go to the round of 32.
In my expert opinion, that song will never make it out of the first round.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. The Luke song actually stopped me from writing. I think I had something half decent to contribute, and then once I saw that was on the slide, I was like, well, why even bother? Because that's definitely airing.
Yeah, there's some very funny lines in that song. I really like that one.
And then in your effort, which I really appreciate, to minimize trots, 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 that is probably going to win the play-in as a 15, and then it's going to be going up against me with Mr. Avocado, and it is going to win.
No, so I don't think so. That's the reason I put you at number two.
No, it's going to win.
Well, I don't think, we had a chat about this offline, but last year with the 2017 bracket, I don't know if we were just all geniuses, which is probably what happened.
That sounds right.
Or if people just defer to the seeding. But within the brackets, we had a 1-2-3-4, a 1-2-3-4, a 1-2-3-5, and I think it was a 9-2-3-4. Wow. Because Big Rock Cocaine Planet fell to Bocce Ball or something. But we almost picked a perfect stupid 16 or whatever we're calling it. It could be that the sheer, strength of being a number two will help get a few extra votes. But I don't know. People tend to love that trot song, so we'll see.
I just love trot so much that I just want it to really earn it and feel like it's really accomplished something by going the hardest road possible through this.
It's got to prove itself. That makes sense. Mm-hmm.
This is Claire Natola. I think this committee is a Travis Sham mockery.
But, it is what it is. All these are great. Like I said on Twitter, all these are, top of the heap jingles. Well, most of them. They're all good. And all the jingles on their site, I love them all. You just got to, sometimes you got to make a Sophie's choice and just pick one of them.
All of them, huh?
I'm taking a quick break from this chatter to look at the online Twitter polls right now. I see that Trots, 50, Trots, 50. Trots, and Hear the Cajun Coming are tied at there's 58 votes. They're tied at 50%.
I have 50-50, and I just saw an update on my Twitter feed.
Yep. Trots was ahead, and it just fell behind.
So if you're hearing this, go vote in a poll that will be over with by the time this posts.
100%.
Yep.
Yes.
Bobby Gottfried is sweating the trots, trots, trots. I hear the Cajun Coming matchup, saying this should be a Final Four matchup, not a play-in, which, is true.
That's fair.
You got to beat them all.
Bobby, you got to beat them all. No matter when you play them,
you got to win six games.
Yeah, it doesn't matter when you win. You got to win them all. That's true. I will say before we move on,
we have two that are tied.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Because I think what else was tied recently?
I'll drive everywhere
is tied.
Oh.
Not to give away any of my bracket.
that's new school and old school, because Hoff Waff is very new, like in the last week. And then I'll Drive Everywhere was one of the,
that's 2014.
The first
year. Yeah. 2014.
That's old school.
That's interesting. The only other two that I really strongly considered would be After the Gold Rush, with Brad doing his Neil Young impression, which cracked me up, and really funny stuff in there, and which would be new, and then old, She's Always a Goddess by John Neiswinger, because, he played the piano and all that and did all that, and it's more of a full-length jingle, classic from, 3 or 4 years ago. So that's all I got.
You ended that on such a downer. That just gives me such sadness, because John kind of dropped out of doing all this because of all the nonsense and other things. And then, and then Courtney was basically kicked off the show because she's a porn star.
Yeah.
And they decided I guess we probably don't want to do this anymore. Yeah.
That's what I bring, the entertainment value.
Yeah.
I'm here to pump it up. Yeah. That's my job.
That's what people say about you.
Yes. The life of the party.
Yep.
Nobody's ever said that in their life.
That's not what Anthony Beeson said about you.
If only we could have heard it. If we didn't have technical difficulties, if we could have actually heard what he said.
That's a callback, Steve.
All right, so we've done one bracket in an hour. And as I mentioned earlier, this 4-hour show.
Sounds about right.
We have other comments before we move on to number two, which is the Old Man Song region. And the regional manager is Robert Berg.
I had some comments, but I forgot because Jason just started talking about something. I don't know where that went.
I'm a podcast professional.
You are professional.
Claire Natola here again. You may know me as Cool Aunt Claire on Twitter. I'd like to say that any podcast not recorded in front of a breakfast-eating live studio audience is hardly worth listening to.
Okay. My play-in is Dairy Queen versus Alaska Woman, and this one actually looks like it's pretty much over. Dairy Queen is crushing Alaskan Woman, which is, that's Byron, right?
Yes.
Yeah,
and what is that going to play in at number 16?
It's going to play in at 16. So
Dairy Queen at 16 is brutal. Yeah,
Dairy Queen, that's strong. People loved that at Jingle Fest. That was one of the, I mean, people were literally dancing all over the place.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Joe and KJ killing it.
I'd say KJ is definitely the best singer of all the female jinglers. Well, except maybe Joe Arrow. She's pretty good, too.
I appreciate that you put my writing up against my singing. That's
absolutely
the only way to go with
that. Now,
yes.
So a few things about this region. Apparently, I didn't. So last year, Steve, what is it? Steve does the hell, whatever the hell he wants region.
The Steve doesn't follow directions.
He doesn't follow directions. So Steve interpreted / chose to make it turnaround jingles. I couldn't remember exactly everything that was an old guy radio jingle. This was old guy radio and news. And so I tried to come up with all of the stories that we have heard, whether on the news or from Tony, that were memorable, and then find a song to match it. Well, apparently, I've been rewriting the bracket as Jason was going on and on and on and on about his bracket. I didn't have bocce balls in there because I didn't realize that that was old guy. So I threw that in there. The seating's going to be messed up, but really, what difference does it make? Because you have to win them all, right?
There you go.
You have to win all the games. You don't win all the games, you don't get to be the champion.
One and done.
So the winner, and I've also reseeded the number one seed. So the number one seed was the number six seed. And that is Eleanor Rigby by Bradley Jefferson Weiss.
Is the number one seed?
That is the number one seed. Now, the reason that it is the number one seed is because a gentleman who didn't follow directions completely omitted it. And that story to me had to be included. And so
that's the skin song, right?
For reparations, for the sake of reparations, I made it the number one seed. Now, of course, the reward for being made the number one seed is it's going to lose to Dairy Queen, which is unfortunate, but I still wanted Brad to get props on being the number one seed. And
but I like that the tie-in with dairy and milk.
Oh, I like. Oh, nice, yes, nice. Good. Oh, Steve's a professional. He sees things that he sees the court the way other people don't see it.
but I got off on that charge. Oh, different kind of court.
Okay, so
he's the Lonzo Ball of podcasting.
Right. Yes, that actually does sound right. So the 160, so it's skin milk. I just call it skin milk, but it's Eleanor Rigby going up against what now looks to be Dairy Queen. Although Alaskan Woman, very good song. Love that story.
Yes, great lyrics to that.
And I think it was about how Nigel was going to, it was a dinner, right? It was like the dinner before a wedding or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, something like that.
He went and he saw the Alaskan woman eating a giant steak and a cake at the same time or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. And Anita was like, "Hey, what are you trying to say here?"
Yes. So
have
some dessert. What could it hurt? Alaskan woman. Perfect. All right, the 8-9 game. Number 8. Someone dumped their trash in mine, which I think we mentioned in last year's whatever you call this, you know, jingle preview podcast.
April asininity.
Right. But I don't remember what we called it last year. Is that what we called it? Doesn't matter.
Of course. We're doing it in February this year.
This was the quickest turnaround news or old guy. Even this beat anything Steve's ever done, and Steve's pretty fast. Like it was up by 3 o'clock.
Yeah, it was like 2 hours, 3 hours after the show came out, the podcast came out.
I haven't even finished listening to the show. I don't think I got to the part that referenced and the song was up on the site. Number 9, it'll be going against one of my favorites. I would say very underrated. This 9 seed could go places, although I thought some of Steve's jingles could go places last year and they got drummed out. But this one is uber black. If Steve was born to sing AC/DC. Steve, you would agree with that, wouldn't you?
I was not born to do much, but I have sung a lot of AC/DC in my life.
If you can listen to Uber Black and not laugh until your stomach hurts, you're a better person than I am. I'm just going to say that about it.
Certainly my throat hurt.
Yeah. Those are the first two.
My favorite.
Go ahead.
I do want to say one thing. My favorite thing about Uber Black was Tony loved the lyrics. but he couldn't understand the thing, yes. So he read along.
Yes, he read had to read them along with the actual jingle playing
like
in the background.
It was like open captioning on radio. Yes, it was great. It was, like, I kind of got Tony to actually jingle.
There you go.
The number four seed, Tony's Restaurant, which I think was probably around a four seed last year, right? I think it was one of the top four seeds in this region. And
I believe so.
It will be going against, hold on, I have to determine this. Let's see. I have prompting from Jerry. I have a list here that I can look at. What am I going to... Let's see. Goodbye, RG3. It's hard to say. Jerry gave me a list of 16 jingles. Six were by him. So he's a little bit biased, but he does like listening to his jingles. There do seem to be some good options in here, though.
Sean Morrissey doesn't like listening to his jingles.
Yeah, that's right.
Jerry loves to.
Yeah, that's what I kind of live for.
Nigel's Bad Day. That's the whole day, though. That's not really old guy or news. It incorporated both of those, but it wasn't the whole thing. Goodbye, RG3. That's not in your bracket, is it, Steve?
No, it is not.
I think that needs to be represented.
I think it would actually be funny to have a jingle that's in both brackets.
Actually, there is no prohibition against that.
Since apparently we can change things at any time.
Very true.
In
fact, Jerry may print up the brackets however he wants.
We're going to go with Goodbye, RG3 in the 13 spot.
Ooh, into a 13. Okay.
Jerry versus Jerry there.
It's Jerry versus Jerry there.
Didn't it
run in the paper? Like it has to be represented.
It was on the news. It was like on the local news they played it.
Channel WSA, Channel 9. That's actually how I started jingling.
Yeah, I learned that on last year's April Asininity Bracket Breakdown,
right,
where Steve revealed that that's what drew him into this whole endeavor.
I was like, they're still doing this crap? Yes. I got to get in.
I just learned that fact right now because I didn't really pay attention even as we were recording last year.
Well, that sounds like you.
So that's also John Neiswiger going to play in the piano on that, right?
Oh, yeah, that piano.
Well, that's perfect. I can represent John in this bracket then. That's good. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The five seed, the winner of this will go against the winner of the next game. The five seed is Ebola. But is it Rich Otter or is it Ottinger? I thought it was Ottinger, but then I've seen him as Rick Otter, too.
I think he abbreviates it sometimes, but I believe it's Ottinger. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is it Rich or Rick? I think I've seen... Is there like a Rick Otter and a Rich Ottinger? Are there two people that are like...
Rich.
It's Rich.
I thought it was Rich too, but I thought maybe there's somebody with a similar name to him. I don't know. But Ebola is one of the four jingles where I remember exactly where I was the first time I heard it and just crying. And it's probably underseeded, but there are there's a lot of good jingles. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
12 seed. Let's see. This is another one we're going to have to figure out here. Let's go back to the
you
list.
You are really reseeding the bracket as you go.
So,
I thought you were kidding.
No, not kidding. So, let's see. I can't do another Jerry song. These are all Jerry songs.
Speaking of Jerry songs, why you?
Yeah, just filibuster here. Let me
go back to Tony's Restaurant real quick. That's the one where Jerry wrote it going down the highway, right?
Yeah. Oh yes. Man, I loved. So that was one where I heard Tony's story and turned the show off. And started dictating that Alice's Restaurant dialogue on my drive.
So that's a real quick turnaround one too. That's an all-time studio reaction when you sent that in.
Oh, I think, yeah.
Was that the next day that it was back when they were playing them?
Played the next day or the day after. I mean, I wrote it that day, but I don't know how quickly I was able to get it in there. But yeah, that was one of those like just serendipity that like this is just too perfect of a story. And it
was a long song,
Gary,
right?
Gary just hassling him about the side of the road that the restaurant was on.
Yes.
And Jerry, how long was that jingle? Was it like 5 minutes?
Or? No, I didn't do the full Alice's Restaurant treatment. No, that was maybe a minute and a half, 2 minutes.
It only felt like an hour and a half.
Yes. No.
Just keep going, boys. Just keep going. Just another 30 seconds here.
Back to you, Rob.
Hey, right. We'll just pretend like I had inserted some snappy repartee from contributors. Everybody laugh nervously.
If there was anybody that I'd like to hear do the national anthem besides Fergie, it would be Robert Berg. That would be interesting.
That was really fresh and original.
Yeah. So I really don't like putting my jingles in a bracket, but
throw it in there. Do it.
No.
I put in my cover of somebody else's jingle in my bracket.
I already have another. It doesn't get any worse than that. These are my options. I put in the woman to whom I'm related by TK fandom liked a specific jingle, and I was thinking about extracting that, throwing it out of the bracket, considering the clip that Steve played, and putting the Swordfish song in its place. But that might not go over so well.
Well, let's
what's the song that you like?
Let's do a live 4-vote play-in right now.
Okay. Right. Okay. Let's see. Swordfish versus... Oh, I do like Open Shame, but I can't put too many Jerry songs in this bracket. That looks like, I mean, let's see, Jerry, another Jerry song. That's a Jerry song.
But the guy runs the website.
Nigel's Bad Day. Let's Nigel's Bad Day versus Swordfish. We got 3 votes.
And this is for the 12 seed?
This is for the 12 seed to go against Ebola.
Swordfish.
I'm going Swordfish.
Swordfish.
Does Joe? Joe doesn't. Oh, he has the trash song. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, I'll put it in. Sorry, Joe. I feel like Nigel's Bad Day should be in here. That was it was a great jingle. I didn't realize that it was.
When you say Nigel's Bad Day versus Swordfish, I know exactly what Swordfish is. I remember that jingle. I remember hearing that one. Nigel's Bad Day, I have to go, which one was that again?
And well, you know the song that it was, right?
Unfortunate. We talked about this. Oh, yeah. I know now, but I had to think about it for a minute. Okay. It's what we talked about last year with Brad's, where Brad would have had a lot more jingles in if...
Oh, if he had good titles. Yeah, his titles.
Right, if
his
titles weren't so
bad. Yeah.
All right. Let's see if we have to rewrite any of the bottom of the bracket. Okay. So second seed, we've got Big Rock Cocaine Planet. Maybe the weirdest story that we
it was the only number one seed to fall before the stupid 16. It lost to Bocce Ball pretty early on.
Well, Bocce Ball was ridiculously
but I underseeded Bocce Ball.
Yeah, that was
no doubt about it.
That's
I had a love for Big Rock.
And by the way, that's going to happen again this year. I didn't learn this lesson. I didn't have Bocce Ball in it because I didn't realize it was an old guy radio song. So now it's a 10 seed, and that doesn't seem right. But I don't know what to do about that.
So what's Cocaine Planet going up against?
That is going up against the Bad Dad song that you and I did to Michael Riding a Pony.
Oh, that's great.
Oh, Pony Pony?
Yeah, I had to put the pony story in here, and that's Jamie's favorite jingle that I've done. And I thought, okay, that makes sense. I'll put one of mine in here, but again, I'm rethinking that because of the circumstances that have laid out in the last, 90 minutes ago that Steve inserted that? It's hard to say.
2.5 hours.
So that's the 15 seed, Pony Pony.
Hey, watch it, guys.
The 7 seed, here, we're gonna roll through the rest of this. The 7 seed is Leader of the Store. Great story, great old guy radio KJ. Tale. Love that one. It's Stephen Maloney and KJ, is that? I think it's Steve.
I think so.
They also did Skyfall, which I put in last year, which I thought was underrated. But it's 3 minutes long. Nobody's going to vote for a 3-minute. You know, it's one of those things.
You never know. Brilliant. You never know.
Some people might vote without listening.
It's very possible.
Who would ever do that?
The 10 seed.
You know the only thing that could be worse than voting without listening is putting a jingle in the bracket without listening to it.
And not knowing nobody's ever going to do that. Yeah.
It would be almost as if you deferred that responsibility to somebody else to write your own your bracket for you.
I know.
Weird. But, you know. Number 10, Bocce Balls. It's, again, it should be a 1 or a 2. I mean, it really should be a 1 or a 2. And I have a feeling that Big Rock Cocaine is going out in the second round again. But
that would be funny. Not that it goes down, but it just would be you repeating from last year.
No, but that's the song it lost to. That's just...
I know. That's what I'm saying.
It's exactly just like, why would I do that? I really shouldn't do that to Hampton, but...
This is Hampton Nager, and I want to say from the outset that the committee has shown their true colors tonight. They are a disgrace, but they are not a surprise. We were all there. We know who the true champions are. And the committee is going to have to live with the decisions they made. I don't know how those hacks sleep at night.
Maybe I can move it around somewhere. I don't know. I'll see what I can... Maybe I can rewrite this.
Well, the final brackets will be published on Friday along with this broadcast.
Okay, so we've got time. We've got time. Some of these songs might not even be in the tournament. Number three seed is...
This entire region will be rewritten after this is recorded.
The number three song is Tony's Multi-Flavored Sandwich, I think it's called. It's the Subway.
Ah, yes.
Yes.
Elliot Oshansky's first jingle, and I think best. It's fantastic.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, I think it's easily his best jingle, and it's one
of
my favorites.
And that's you and Rochelle singing that, right?
Yes, we were fortunate enough to jump on that opportunity. It was such a great song.
Negrelli? He's a puppet for the whims of Olshansky.
That is, I still think it's one of my 10 favorite jingles. I just love that jingle. You guys crushed it. The lyrics are hilarious. The story, like the angle is fantastic. It's just perfect. Mm-hmm. And that is going up against my man, Steve Lipton. You Can Call Me Owl. This is a story about the...
Owls?
What is it called? The Capitol Crescent Trail? Where there was an an owl that was like attacking people and ripping their hair out, and
yes,
that was one of my favorite stories. Was that News or was that Old Guy? Actually, it might have been either one. It would qualify for both, probably.
I think it was News.
Sixth seed, Can't Get Enough of Your Love by Bradley Jefferson Weiss, and this was the number one seed. I remember when...
And that's my Arbor Bride.
That is my Arbor Bride.
Arbor Bride, yes.
And...
Once again, Brad fails to in trouble because of his titling.
Yes, yes.
Did he... isn't he like a 27-time jingly loser?
He's been nominated for a lot of jinglies.
And Meryl Streep of the jinglies.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, more always that, a bridesmaid.
Yeah, that, never an Arbor bridesmaid.
Oh, nice. Boy, you are
You went a long ways for that one.
Oh, man.
Did you take notes on that? Did you set that up? I didn't see it coming. That's pretty good.
I did. Well, that's a professional something.
Yes, that is a professional something. And that is the Flacca story, as we all remember. And the guy who was... Yes. You know, going at it with a tree in his front yard.
Yes.
Let's not get any more graphic.
I think
that
generated like 4 or 5 turnaround jingles within the next day.
Yes, it did. And I think Can't Get Enough of Your Love, or whatever the song is called, is the best of them. So I pick that one.
I agree.
And it is going up against the number 11 seed, the Metro's Purple Line. Now, to me, Purple Line complaints is an ongoing theme, and I didn't really specifically associate it with Old Guy Radio. Surely it appeared a number of times, but he's talked about this 24 times, I'm sure. Some of them have been in the open, and it just didn't stick with me. So originally, I had the Toy Hall of Fame in here. Same people, same person writing, same person singing, and...
Oh, that's me and Luke.
Yeah, exactly.
I was like, "Who? What song is this?"
Okay, yes,
yeah, I get it.
So Jerry sent me some notes about songs that he thought would have been under consideration, and Metro's Purple Line was in there, and so I just swapped out for Toy Hall of Fame. And I think that's probably a good swap. But I do like Toy Hall of Fame. What are you going to do? They can't all be in the tournament. You can only pick 68.
Yeah, they're all ones and twos in my heart.
And no, you said they were all ones. I thought you said that they were all...
Yeah.
Yeah, they're all great.
Yeah.
But all 2,800 jingles.
In my heart, they're ones and twos, yeah.
Oh, I see. God. Anyways, feedback, that's it. That's the region. That's the list.
Fantastic.
All right.
So obviously you left out a lot of mine, so some major oversights there. The Open Shane, Shaputzva Maria was a big loss there. Brad Weiss's Skin Milk, I was hoping to see.
Isn't that number one?
Yeah.
I thought that was Eleanor Rigby. One. Oh, wait, is that the same thing?
It's the same thing.
No, his titles are terrible.
Yes, they are.
God.
It's unfortunate.
We're calling this Skin Milk, and Skin Milk is the name of the jingle that I did about that named Skin Milk.
Oh. Well, yeah, we're going with Eleanor Rigby.
Yeah.
And you even explained it, and I thought, oh, he's talking about something else because that's not Eleanor Rigby. I don't know where this description's coming. It must be what he wanted to do instead.
The great thing is, though, Brad is still rolling out the same flawed title strategy, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yes, after the Gold Rush. Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
You got to do what you got to do. What you are. You got to be who you are. So
you can't make Bradley Jefferson Weiss learn. He's just not going to do it.
No.
Well, he's why doing the he teaching. He ain't learning. He's, you know, he's a professor.
Yeah, you're right.
Why does he get three names? Why does he get all three names? Did he shoot somebody? I mean, generally, that's what we do, right?
When you're infamous, yes, you get three names.
Yes. It's the infamy is the important part of that, yes.
Yeah. Professor Infamy.
All right, we're halfway.
Do we have anything
home.
Else in this old man song / news category?
You know, one thing that I will say, and this might actually go to friends and enemies, and forgive me if I missed this, but did we have no Kip Sheeman songs this year?
We had no Kip Sheeman songs last year.
Mm-mm. Wow, that was a big oversight.
Yes. Well, he's dead to us at this point, yeah. So I think we're able to excuse it.
Yeah, we've mourned him, we've moved on.
Yeah, bleep. Although I do have a song, a jingle I'm working on that, well, never mind.
It's called bleep.
Oh, I thought you were telling me to bleep his name out. It's when we actually say his name.
Yeah, no. Yeah. I want you to actually do that.
Sure, I can do that.
Let's just say that I'm developing an idea that is a devotional.
Ooh.
That's all I can say about this at this time.
Sounds good.
Nice. I probably won't get to it, though.
Well, by the time you finish your bracket, it may end up in your bracket for this year.
That's a good point.
By the time we finish this podcast, yes.
You may have time to record it and put it up on the site and get, you know, 1,000 plays, and, you know, it'll be eligible.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is KJ Onstead, and I nominate Double Stuff Oreos. Not these stupid flavor combination Oreos. Oh, what? We're talking about brackets? Jingle brackets? We're talking about jingle brackets? Oh. Well, in that case, I nominate Stay Classy Oreo by Tony Beeson.
All right, somebody take the baton.
All right, so next up is the family business category. We're about an hour and a half in here, so...
Oh my gosh.
That's actually September, not true.
Yeah, last September, I hired Tom Burff to be the producer of the podcast, and the show has basically switched to a four-hour format. I've been doing it daily now. And
daily 4 hours.
It's been fantastic. Yeah, I've been doing it's taken me a lot of time, and
it's surprisingly tough to fill 4 hours.
I have not been getting that much feedback about it. The email, the mailbag has kind of dried up since Tom has become the one responsible for posting it to iTunes. So I'm not sure what's going on there, but we're on track to be shorter than the usual show. I mean, last week we interviewed Jay Leno. It took like 4 hours of conversation and. Now we'll clock in at maybe two and a half. So I think we're okay.
So what you're saying, golf. Is this the secret way you're telling us to stretch to, you know, add more time? I'm reading your signals here.
No, the last hour is usually given over to a sponsor. So whoever pays for that time is able just to talk about whatever they want to talk about, you know?
Oh, I think the listeners are going to be paying for this time.
Who's paying for this time? The listeners are paying for this time.
Yes. Yeah.
Within 2 hours of their life, they'll never get back.
There you go.
All right. So the family business. This category is all about the Tony's mafia. Fame, vanity, the new podcast, the chatter, etc. And so this was tough. So these are all songs that, for the most part, maybe there's one or two that are old, but these have all been written in the past year. I tried to look for things that were mostly about these topics, but that were very recent. So, and the seeding was very difficult because some of these haven't aired, and because they're so new, they have not had a chance to build up the same kind of street cred as maybe Paint It Black or songs we've been able to play at Jingle Fest, where we really can get a sense of what songs people really like. Mm-hmm.
Were we supposed to consider that? My bad.
Well, as you look at the... You know, when you put 18 hours into your preparation, as I did, you know, you need to take this seriously, Jason.
Well, you get all the analytics going on.
That's that's
18
right.
hours prepping, 4 hours to record the podcast. That's it. There you go. That's your full day.
Yeah.
That's a typical ratio.
All right. So the number one seed in this category is a collaboration from Byron and Joe. This is Ordinary Guys about the two Razor guys that are just two ordinary guys buying a factory and changing the way you shave. And it will be going up against number 16 by Steve Lipton, We Must Sell Hats.
Wow.
And then number two in this region, and this was very close. This was almost the number one, but it was a really close call between this and The Ordinary Guys, also featuring Joe Arrow, but this is by Elliot Olshansky. This is It Called Modal? And this was one that on the Facebook Littles group got so much love. So
they love it.
This was a must have in this region. And it's going up against the unfortunate but very good Lose Your Wealth by Luke Overby.
Wait a minute.
This was an idea.
That's a 15 seed?
That's a fit. Well, wait, you know, I think that it's justified when you listen to when you look at what else is in here.
Mm. This is a tough bracket.
I would say Lose Your Wealth is one of the five best jingles in the podcast era.
You think Lose Your Wealth? Oh, yeah, well.
That is your style, though.
Yeah, but lyrically and the way he executed it and the sound, I mean, it's a 15. This is unconscionable, but keep going.
Let's save the comments for the
end. Yeah, you're right. You're right. You're right. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Well, now, as we move on to the next one, this is a clear all-timer here. Number three, Chatter, Burn It to the Ground by yours truly. This is a parody of OAR, and this is one of my favorite lyrically that I've done. And I mean, I haven't done that many recently, but that I've done recently. This one, I just had so much fun writing. And it's similar to some of the other ones in this category, but just the conceit of the restaurant and the vanity project that it is. And if it all comes to an end, at least they can just collect the insurance money and start over. Then on the Chatter theme, then I paired this with the number 14 seed, A Restaurant Named Chatter by Bill Bardo. And folks may not be familiar with that. I'm not sure if this one aired, so maybe
I was going to say, I don't even know if I know that one.
You're making money, investing it right. Got some partners, a rich social life. Well, if you find yourself in that 1% place, buddy, I know how to throw that money away. Just buy yourself a restaurant named Chatter, a couple brand new signs, a bar with great big old flat screen TVs, a local beer menu and boxes of wine. Remove some prime seating for studio placement. You can always serve people in the basement. I wish I had a restaurant named Chatter and I'd serve Wiener Schnitzel too.
Yeah, I wasn't
Jason,
familiar with that one.
I hope you're taking notes because you're creating problems for yourself having to re-listen to 2 hours of content.
Oh, yeah, this is a nightmare. This is a nightmare.
I just wouldn't put any songs in.
What's going to be funny is if I might just drop random jingles in there.
Yeah, or if you miss a cue and we pretend like we're listening to something and it's not actually there. Like, oh, that was brilliant. Right.
Yeah.
Right. By the way, Jason, I heard that for the first time.
I sent you all the clips.
Oh, cool.
So, you probably won't be able to figure out how to play them, but you have them. So you can insert them anywhere. I think they mock all of us in a correct way. So
sweet.
This is Hampton Nager, and man, Steve Lipton is good at this.
Yeah, and I say I think they'll, you know, we'll enjoy them. I have barely listened to them, but I got the feeling. You know. Anyway, sorry.
All right. No, thanks, Steve. So next we have, and now this one I think is a classic. This is one of the top 10, I think, most played jingles of the new era. This is Allison 2017 by John Fitzpatrick. It's just a brilliant jingle that was very well received. And it will be facing off against number 13. Once again, the underseeded Luke Overby, not appreciated here by this regional manager for some reason. Just keeping him down. Gold Digger, which I am really disappointed is not aired yet. Like this one, in terms of the concept, and this is also about the failing restaurant. And it hasn't got a lot of comments, hasn't got a lot of attention. I think if this one makes the show, this is like Mr. Avocado. I think if this one actually gets airtime, it's going to get a whole new
audience.
Audience, exactly. Yeah, I love
it. Well, what is it? Well, as long as we're talking about this, what is your policy on resending songs to the guys? Because sometimes you think, yeah, that one's definitely going to air, and then crickets.
Well, so I think that you don't want to be annoying. So I know, like, I don't want to send it every month, but I recently had Donna the Prima Donna, which is titled Profit, I think. I sent that one 3 times and it finally aired. And when it did, they really enjoyed it. But the first 2 times I had sent it in, I think alongside 1 or 2 other similar type songs of whatever era I was in, whatever topic I was working on. And that one, I just sent it again, like, hey, you might've missed this one. And I sent it a 3rd time and finally it made the show. I mean, I think generally if they pass it up, it's for a reason that they don't think it fits, but sometimes they just forget or they miss, like, the amount of time and attention that I put into this or that you guys or whoever else is obviously, and maybe not always obviously, but to folks that write these things, but it's not nearly the level of care that they put into it. Having right. sat in that studio multiple times, oftentimes, and it's maddening when you know what goes into writing these, but Mark or Nigel or whoever, whatever you want to say, will turn to Tony and say, all right, we have a song by Dion, or we have a song here, or we have a song, you know, by the Four Seasons, or we have something about your recent golf tournament. And that's what he'll tell him. Say, oh, we should do that one about the golf tournament then. Say, whoa, hold on a second. Like, you know, the song by the Four Seasons, that's a parody of this song, and it's got this great lyric in it. And then one about the golf tournament, you know, that's by somebody that was just on 2 days ago. So, you know, that approach there, the way that they're often presented, isn't necessarily the way that we might assume that they are or hope that they would be in order to make sure that, you know, the meritocracy of these stupid songs prevails.
Yeah. That's a funny story about that. So the last song of the radio show, the radio show era, he aired one of my jingles. And the reason is I thought, you know, they're going to be not paying attention. So at like, and I was awake late. I sent in a jingle at like 2 a.m, figuring that possibly Nadia would just be scrambling for something and just throw it up there because he had nothing. Like, what's the most recent one? I'll just use that. And that's what they did. Nice. I think they were trying to find something that Elliot had done, and for whatever reason the file wasn't working, whatever, so they just threw mine on there and it became the last song that aired on the radio.
Nice. You know,
not because it was good.
Well, another my side of that, I've only sent in 2 different jingles multiple times. One of them was Venus. I sent in 3 times before they played.
Are you serious? They didn't play that immediately?
Wow. What?
The other one was Dairy Queen that I sent in 3 times before they played it.
Oh, my God. And those are both just classic songs.
Yeah, so they don't have the best taste. Miss, you know. They don't know what's going to hit. It's just, yeah.
Yeah. Well, as Shad often says, the mailbag is a fickle mistress. I don't think you can take it personally. It's maddening when you know this is really good. Like one of the ones we're going to get to later of mine, it is driving me crazy that it hasn't aired yet. And I've submitted it, I think, 4 times, even with the disclaimer, like, if this is never going to air, please tell me, because I'm going to keep sending it until it does.
I never thought about threatening them like that before.
Who is Jerry Negrelli?
Yeah, well, I don't want to waste their time. I just think they're missing it, because in my opinion, it's solid gold, so it should be airing. So let's move on. So number 5, then, is Another Day at Chad's La La Land by Luke, KJ, and Sean. Mm-hmm. And that's just a classic, classic song before it was even Chatter. And then Once on the Podcast, which is a parody of One for My Baby and One More for the Road by Mike O'Connell Jr. And this is great because it's a relatively new person to this whole little songs thing. And it's I think they played it twice because it was very long. So they played a verse and a chorus, and then the next day or a few days later, they play the next verse and the chorus. So it's cool when they do that kind of thing to honor the quality of a submission of one of these songs.
Yeah, that's cool. And I mean, not to brag or anything, but I believe one of the very first times that they played a jingle separated over multiple days was actually one of mine.
Yeah.
Because I made that ridiculously 2-minute long
undisclosed location.
For, patience, yeah, undisclosed location. Yeah. They played one verse. One, they played the first part like on Friday, and then they played the next part on Monday.
Oh, nice.
I used to write scathing emails to Tony asking why Rob had a superlative if the clearly superior Jason didn't have one. That all became clear once I actually met Jason, though. Jesus.
Next, moving along quickly here, we have number 6 seed Shop by KJ about all the things that they want to move, all the product they're trying to move out of there. And then that will match up against the 11th seed, which is a play-in game. It's Somebody Told Me You Have a Podcast by Robert Berg.
Boo.
It's a killer's parody. Up against I Want Your Socks.
That's the one. You should have voted for that.
As of this recording, I Want Your Socks is slightly ahead. Nice. We'll see if it hangs onto that lead when this thing is posted.
Yeah, those are some killer play-ins. These play-ins are like championship matches.
Yeah, these are.
Hey, I respect you, Rob.
I don't
actually,
care for that jingle.
Oddly enough, I want Your Socks was actually suggested by Rob.
Nice.
Oh wow. So. Oh, the sad irony that's his only song in this whole region, and he'll get knocked out by that.
Right, because I did one of Tony's pop up podcasts, which was I Want Your Hex about. Anyway,
Quinn,
but
Sally.
Anyway, so basically, Rob was like, "Well, you've already done that. You got the music. Why don't you do I Want Your Socks?" I'm like, "Okay." Wrote itself.
There you go.
Sorry, go on.
All right.
Insert momentum song.
That was a professional something again.
And then next we have Shattered by Mr. Bradley Jackson Weiss up against, and this is the one I was referring to earlier, I feel the greatly disrespected and underappreciated Pizza Dancer by myself. So Tiny Dancer, I think that Scott Anthony did a song either called Pizza Dancer or that referenced that title, and it had nothing to do with Tiny Dancer, but I assumed it did. And when I saw a post, I was so excited, like, oh my God, Pizza Dancer, that's about spinning an arrow in front of a restaurant. This is going to be gold. And it was really good, but it wasn't Elton John.
It was Tina Turner.
Yeah, yeah, it wasn't Elton John. And I said, I thought that's what this was. Well, I guess I need to write the Elton John version now. And so this definitely only exists because, and like so many of the things that I've done, it only exists because somebody else had a great idea and I riffed on it or said, you know, I've got a way I could maybe make that different or make it my own or whatever. And I have sliced and diced this in multiple ways for podcast edits because I think the final version is like 2 minutes long, but I love the concept of some idiot dancing outside of Chatter with a big blue arrow to the point that I made a big blue arrow and brought it to the show and have seen Chatter posting on their Instagram GIFs of Tony standing outside of Chatter spinning that arrow. It is just like magnificent that has happened. And yet somehow they actually mentioned
that. I mean, Nigel's like, I think that's Jerry Negrelli outside spinning the sign.
Yeah. I didn't, since I don't listen to the show every day, I didn't know they weren't accepting people to eat in the restaurant or that they weren't open for business. So I showed up at, you know, whatever it was, 8 a.m. and started dancing outside with an arrow. And then they noticed me out there like, what the hell is he doing out there? because I couldn't
get in. Yeah, they seem very confused.
Confused.
Nice. Yeah, so luckily then they let me in out of the cold so I could deliver the arrow afterwards. But it's still there now. And Tony goes outside every now and then dances with it. So, you know, if you come, I guess all you guys will be there at the Jingle Fest this summer. If we go there for lunch on Saturday, we can all take turns outside trying to drum up business and spinning that arrow.
Nice. Nice.
The Joe Arrow. Oh.
Yes, Joe has to be the first one to do it.
It's a professional something.
Steve Lipton picks jingle songs with the best of them.
Professional something, yep.
All right, now lastly in the family business bracket or region, I have Podcast Now Boy by, it's a collaboration by Sean Morrissey and John Fitzpatrick, an elderly man doing a podcast from Ellipses, and I think this is from Rehoboth, but littlesongs.net has a cutoff on the length of title, so I don't know what the actual title of this song is, but I'm pretty sure that he's doing a podcast from Rehoboth Beach. But this is Patrick Moffitt, and this was another great song.
Yes.
And so I put a lot of time into this. And as I mentioned, John Fitzpatrick was the other major person here. So on the bubble, I had four John Fitzpatrick songs. Can't Take Care of Business, Will Podcast and Kill the Radio Star, The Rising, and My House. And every one of these is about Tony quitting radio, starting a podcast, and sucking at business. And that just really resonates with me. So I wanted to make sure I included all of those. Mm-hmm. KJ,
and by include them, you mean exclude them?
Well, yes. I tried to include them.
This is John Fitzpatrick, and the next good pick I hear will be the first good pick I hear.
Yeah, well, we should, you know, I love these songs. John has been, just been on such a roll. And then KJ, who was in there at number six, was Shop. Her other alternative song was Bye Bye Bye.
The
NSYNC parody.
Her boy.
Yep. Yeah. And then Steve, you had one in here with Plausibly. Which is about them being plausibly live and doing their podcast and all that stuff.
Right.
And then Joe Arrow had Come to Chatter with Me. And then lastly, I did a parody of Lady Gaga, A Million Reasons, that I really had wanted to include, but I already had a couple in here, so I elected to go with Pizza Dancer and Chatter.
Right.
So this one, as I said earlier, was really hard to seed because these are all so new, but hopefully... you know, we'll see how this all plays out, as they like to say. But hopefully,
could be a lot of upsets. Could be a lot of nines over eights.
We'll see what folks like. I mean, a lot of these songs were written in the past 12 months, so that'll be a good kind of test of the recency of some of these things, and get a sense for maybe what people might want to hear this summer.
Yeah, I noticed that none of mine were in there. You know, mainly coming from the last 12 months, and I just have to, you know, I wouldn't know why. That I wouldn't know why I would have zero in there, since it was only coming from the last 12 months, you know, with my multitude output of jingles in the last 12 months that I've, you know, put out there. My production level is so high. So I guess I just got to
sound like you're taking it personally.
No. I wouldn't take it personally.
It sounds like you're taking it personally.
My zero jingles that I've put out in the past 12 months.
It sounds personal. I don't know why you didn't choose any of mine. I haven't written a single one about any of his new ventures, because what is there to say? I mean, the fact that he's in business is comedy enough. You don't really have to make a song about it.
Yeah, buying a restaurant, that's its own punchline.
Yeah.
I did have one with Tony Beeson. It was a chatter when they changed the name, which Jerry has ignored, which I thought was pretty good, you know. Chads might change names, but they'll still serve fries. That was my contribution, and, you know, maybe next year.
Yeah, I really appreciate Jerry not showing favoritism to the, you know, the other bracket managers in this committee.
It's true.
You know, so
that's true.
It's really, you know.
It's kind of a reverse favoritism, actually. I think I try to prefer my own songs and exclude the three of you, so.
That's probably a good idea.
As it should be.
Right, because you can write and sing. I don't know.
All right. Steve, you can write.
How many brackets we got left?
One.
We are down to the final one.
Steve, you can write. I got that.
Okay. That's professional something.
All right. all right. Great. So what is my bracket against? Whatever the hell Steve wants.
Steve ruins
basically
everything.
Basically, yeah. This was supposed to be the field, the catch-all, but because we knew you wouldn't follow the rules, it's just kind of whatever you wanted to put in here.
All right. So we're going to start off with number one seed, I Have a Piano, Tony B, which was really a smash hit. And I think I spent about 15 minutes arguing that it might not even be a jingle last year because it's a
original composition.
I am sad to report that in the last few weeks, I Have a Piano has surpassed We Didn't Start the Fire and Balding Jordan Spieth as the number one Little Song.net, in terms of overall most played song ever. So I think this is the number one overall seed of the entire tournament.
So that's what everyone's gunning for. Yep. That's kind of hard to imagine, but it was a smash hit. And of course, Tony did a great job at Jingle Fest last year. So
that was awesome.
It's undeniable. It is undeniable. And it really, I think he's got I Have a Piano license plate now, like a vanity plate, if I'm not mistaken. So, you know, I think it's changed his life.
Yeah. I
this is not a joke. I think it has.
I would think he would have, you know, like an I Have a Piano piano.
That's good.
That makes sense.
It's funny. So I've got a little quote about I Have a Piano.
Here we go.
Let's give it a shot. I'm sure I'll mess it up.
Hi, this is Tony Beeson, and I have a piano, but I just pray that Steve Lipton does not.
There you go. That's good.
That's gold.
I can't believe that. Woo. Yeah. Ooh, that's
gold. I agree or don't agree with all of that 100%.
Right. Okay. And anyway, I Have a Piano is going against the play-in game, which I will give you the live update. My play-in games were I'll Drive Everywhere, NV, and Hoffwaff, which is the Flintstone parody, also by KJ, who's been getting a lot of love for sure. But let's face it, she deserves it. She's fantastic, and yes, they loved it. That's probably about the 100th time they've said that's the best one ever. But it's and the Wilbon at the end is, I mean, come on. So anyway, you know, love them both. I'll Drive Everywhere was spot on too. But right now, Hoffwaff is up 52-48.
Ooh, that's a close one.
That's close, yeah. I'm glad to see most of these are close, except for Dairy Queen. You know, I'm glad it's crushing, but you know, the other three, I'm glad they're close.
Right. Well, yeah, that's right. So I'm glad that people are actually interested. It looks like I got 48 notifications on Twitter right now, which is about 48 more than I usually have. So
I'm not even opening Twitter. I'm not even going to look.
Your Twitter's blowing up, right. Okay, next on the list, the 2:15 game, Hamilton, which seems to be the forgotten jingle. But I mean, that's a multitude, everybody. I think maybe you, Rob, and Jason can speak to who spearheaded that.
Luke.
It was sort of everybody, but it was Luke's brainchild. Is that correct?
Luke wrote it.
Yes. Yes, Luke wrote it and sent us the idea, and we got involved, and me and Rob got involved.
Yeah, he invited people
we were
in.
Splitting up parts. Yeah. And then we got KJ involved, and then we wanted to get other people involved, so Fitzpatrick came and decided that he would jump in with us.
So Luke wrote the entire thing? I thought that was collaborative.
No. He wrote the whole thing over 30 days. We were, I remember we were working
Information for life.
We were working
that thing
on
took
other
like 2
jingles.
Months because,
yeah. And
we recorded individual parts, and I mean, I think I did like 25 tracks and put it in there, and KJ did like 8 or 9 or 10, and John Fitzpatrick did a bunch, and Rob did a bunch, and then Luke did his, you know, the parts he was rapping. But for like the choral parts, it took forever. I mean, I would work on it like 10, 15 minutes a day, you know, but it was one of these things where it took a long time to produce and put together, but totally Luke's idea. He wrote it.
I mean, I just got to say, that's probably the closest thing to art that, you know, out of this whole shebang. I mean, really, like Tony at the Jingle Fest 2 years ago, who's literally moved to tears almost while you guys performed that on stage. And it was, I mean, you know, so that's formidable at two. That's not a joke. You know, that goes against Hot Hand Spazgula. So, you know, that's
a tough
my
first
song.
Round
and I put that in there mostly because I like to say Spazgula. I mean, it was fun to be able to sing Spazgula and a name like that. And also, I just love the fact that that Luke is totally giving away James Carville's secret guy that he's been hiding in the woods for 20 years. He's just totally willing to give him away for a cheap laugh. So that was a great story. But I'm sure that's going to go down to Hamilton. But I got to sacrifice something. At least I got to say Spazgula 3 or 4 times.
That's true.
Tonight.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Number three, and this is seems low, but the extended We Didn't Start the Fire by Jerry, which, again, until recently was the number one TK jingle song. Again, a classic and something that, to pardon the pun, ignited the fire. I mean, it really got a lot of people interested in this.
And I believe always was the runner-up to the champion last year, correct?
Lost to Balding Jordan Spieth.
And it was really close.
A couple of votes.
Yeah, it was close.
It was 50.1 to 49.9 or something like that.
Yeah.
Right. So, you know, I mean, coming from a 3 seed, in a way, it's good. You feel like you're overlooked. That's going against Orange Baby. Obviously, a Tony and Vanilla Ice parody. I like the higher seed there. It's kind of, you know, that's a tough one, but you folks make your choice.
Yeah, I would encourage everybody to listen to that Orange Baby. That is a classic vintage 2013 jingle. Mm-hmm. I love that.
Right. Not enough vanilla ice on the site. I've always felt that.
You know, I feel I have, you know, one of the things is, like I said, I started after the Candle in the Wind, RG3. And so there's a lot of early stuff that I haven't really gone back and heard, you know, for better or for worse. So you know, I need to really own up on my earlier, redacted jingles, .com music stuff right. That came out before I was involved.
Tinytunes.us.
Thank you. All right. So the next matchup, number four, a classic from Neil in Rockville, 50 Ways to Cook a Chicken.
50 Ways to Cook a Chicken.
I mean, seriously, how could you go wrong with that? Though up against Dylan's Better by Beck, which is just so hilarious.
Yeah, that is one of those just gut laugh songs that I expected last year was going to go really far. And it was a number six seed against Barbara Ann / Bob Ryan. And it went out in the first round.
Right, exactly. Well, that's why it reflected in the lower seed now. It's, you know, 13.
Yeah.
But Better by Beck is a better song than Beck Was a Quarterback. So, you know, if nothing else, we can say that.
Hopefully this jingle is getting better in everybody's estimation and we'll continue to move up.
Yeah,
it's getting better without being good.
This is so meta.
Right. Number five, In the Club, Rob Berg, which, if I'm not mistaken, was done over sort of the summer break in one of the classic Take the Summer Off.
It was done for Jerry's podcast.
Yeah, I was interviewing Tony, and Tony made a comment. I think I sent out either a recap of the interview or the actual interview file to everybody and said, here are the notes of what Tony said.
Right.
If you have any ideas about how you might make a song about this, I'd like to interweave jingles into the interview episode of the podcast. And Tony had made a comment that listeners of his show are basically in a club and that they all get the same jokes. They all understand it. And you know, Rob took that and ran with it, and it became one of the all-time great songs.
Gotcha. Right. We did some time. That's what I remember from that interview.
Yes.
That's how we stopped it. We did some time.
That was Cindy the ultimate. I love that moment. I mean, as abrupt and confusing as it was in the moment, we talked for, I think, 15 minutes, and he must have had a stopwatch going because literally at the 15-minute point, he said, all right, well, we did some time. I'm like, what? And that was it. Like, the interview's over.
Okay. There was no stopwatch. He's a professional. He knew to get out on the break.
Right. That was a professional something.
Yeah. It was wonderful.
All right, so number five is going against Did You Know I Know Magic by Steve Maloney and Bradley Jefferson Weiss.
Did you know I know magic? Well, of course you do. I'm on here every other day reminding you, yeah, he's magic. Actually urban to me. He tells me lots of stories, gets me food for free. I'll tell you about my magic so then you'll know how it is I name draft sports stars in every TK show. Oh, you must know I know magic. Another Midwestern guy, as down to earth a billionaire as you'll ever find. Hey, and listen, when you're out in LA, if you need Dodger box seats, just mention my name. I'm partial to Jordan and Chicago teams, but my good friend Irvin Johnson is so dear to me.
Did you know I know magic? That kills me.
You see, that's an example of a one with a great title that Brad is involved in, but I don't think he actually titled it.
He didn't write it.
Exactly. He wrote it.
Absolutely.
Brad's along for the ride.
Steve's got a lot of good songs. Why doesn't he send in more?
I love that. The second lyric of that song makes me laugh because it's, did you know I know magic? Well, of course you do.
Yes.
I remind you every time I'm on here. Like, oh my God. Yeah.
So, once again, the oft mentioned tonight, John Fitzpatrick at number six with Summer of 69. Again, a classic. And John has been, I want to join the chorus to say that John's been doing yeoman's work this year. The most consistent and funny, and his voice sounds great. He's been spot on. It's been John's year for sure. John and Joe Arrow, Joe's been pumping him out, and he's been really good about doing other people's songs and all that sort of thing. So props to to him and Blowing Sunshine, his new podcast as well. Don't forget about that. But number six, Summer of 69, is going against Jason's Venus, Uranus. Uranus, never not funny.
Always not
Uranus
funny.
Is going to get crushed in this one.
maybe. You know, that's probably a tough one. I mean, again, you listeners vote for yourself, obviously, but they both go over really well live, and what's to say? Two geniuses fighting it out.
Both of those are definitely fun live. I will say that. Yeah. John always kills when he sings "Summer," the Orange Juice 369. That's a great one live.
It's grapefruit juice. But thanks for playing.
Speaking of two geniuses, Jerry and Michelle at number seven with "He Would Do Anything for Cash."
Oh yeah.
Again, a classic duet. Well, you know, we needed to represent. I think Michelle's probably underrepresented on this list. This is the last bracket that we're revealing here, and you know, she does a great job anytime she's involved. But a great duet there, and a great description of Mr. Tony, and that's going against "It Wasn't Me" by Jerry.
Oh no,
that's right. So it's a little, it's a family affair, as you were, you know. I mean. No, actually, you know what? I'm wrong. I read that wrong. You get a reprieve. It's actually going against the original Gary Braun theme.
Ooh.
At 10.
Ooh. Well, that's taking
you made Gary a 10.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, that's a tough one. I mean,
well, at least you included him.
The Fred Flintstone like vocals. I mean, you know, the the altones in the background. It's really hard to beat the original. Mm. But so that's the 10, and then the 8-9 is Orange Tinted Jew versus It Wasn't Me. So, you know, Bob Ryan would say 8-9 wouldn't be a upset. And Jerry, you're at 9 on It Wasn't Me.
Ah, you got a shot. Yeah.
You do. Well, you know.
That's the Shaggy one, right?
Yeah.
Hi, welcome to Calvert Woodley. How can I help you?
I'd like some Merlot and some Zinfandel.
All right.
And some Cabernet.
Okay. Anything else?
Oh, yeah, just one more thing.
What's that?
La Cheeserie!
Picture this, I was with Arnold Palmer, sitting near a Georgia green. Out of nowhere, a gentleman approached to deliver a message to me. How could I explain to Arnie this happens all the time? You see, my dad owns a shop that carries stinky cheese and fancy wine.
Hey, Steve Sands, I really had to meet ya. Mr. Tony told the Littles how we should greet ya. Others might ask about the PGA, but Littles only got one thing to say.
When I'm covering the Masters,
La Cheeserie,
with other broadcasters,
La Cheeserie,
with Danny Willett and his trophy,
La Cheeserie,
or on location in Sochi,
La Cheeserie,
giving tours of Augusta,
La Cheeserie,
or with my all-state adjuster,
La Cheeserie,
interviewing Ricky Fowler,
La Cheeserie,
or at the gym in the shower,
La Cheeserie.
Hey, Sam's La Cheeserie.
Yeah, yeah, that almost that was on the bubble.
The Cheeserie, right?
Yeah, the Cheeserie. That's a fun one.
Was great.
Yeah. Once again, I really like that because it's maybe a little out of your normal normal style. I think it's fantastic though. I think it was really well delivered and made me laugh.
Well, that draws my attention there out of that group, Orange Tinted Jew. That is the reason that we have Soul and all those stupid tangent type weird performers is because yes. Ron Moretti, who goes by Geezer Taz or something like that on the website, was great at writing these parody songs. But rather than posting on the ideas page or asking Joe Arrow or somebody or at Brad Weiss, he would go and commission semi-professional singers to sing them for him. And so he found it. So he had this guy do Johnny Cash, and it blew me away for that song. So, my God, that's incredible.
He did like Johnny Cash, was in a like Johnny Cash tribute band.
Yeah. Yeah. And
so he like sang Johnny Cash songs.
And so I asked him, I said, how did you find a professional performer? Because there's this new guy, Robert Berg, who did this Balding Jordan Spieth song. I think it's hilarious, but it could really use another vocalist to help it go viral. I'd like to do something similar to help Rob out. I think he could really have a smash hit on his hands here if I could find somebody that sounds like Adele. So So, oh yeah, here's the website. Here's the reference. And I signed in and I searched like, oh yeah, I'm with somebody that sounds like Adele. And I found a page and I listened to the sample and said, wow, this sounds really good. And it was Soul. And so I commissioned Soul, paid whatever it was, to have her sing Balding Jordan Spieth. And the rest is history. I mean, just one of my all-time favorite moments of this whole enterprise. Is
that actually thing. How we got to
that
Soul?
Had to well, be the other shock. Thing,
ironically, Balding Jordan Spieth is the number four jingle of all time as far as listens.
Well, I was trying to help Rob reach a new audience outside of this crew. I thought, if we can get an Adele performer to sing this, it's going to just be amazing.
Because it got linked on another like sports blog page.
Yeah, he was getting trash talk from golf blogs.
Oh, yeah, I was getting hammered.
Right, that's right.
Ridiculous.
That's right. And with that, I'd like to say, I'm done with my bracket, and I think for the next 4.5 hours, I'm going to do Michael Kornheiser swing talk, and we're going to talk about swing planes and
can you talk about
and
grass
club
types,
angles,
please? And just describe different strains of grass.
Fescue.
Right. Well, as Carl Spangler Bermuda said in Caddyshack, it's Kentucky bluegrass and California sends me in mixed. You can play 18 holes or 36 holes during the day and get stoned to the bejesus bells at night with this stuff. So.
I have no idea.
But that's for another show. Anyway.
So today is what? Today is Thursday. So for tomorrow's 4-hour show,
well,
I'm going to have you guys
Friday.
Back.
Well, it's still Thursday where Rob is.
That's true.
So I'll invite you guys back, and Tom's back tomorrow, so he'll produce the show, and we'll do another 4 hours tomorrow. What do you say?
Yeah,
we
sure,
did I'm some in. Time. We did some time.
All right. Any other final thoughts here, guys, on the 2018 April Asininity bracket spectacular?
I mean, is there anything big that we left off? And that's a
everything.
That's the question.
Yeah, of course. I mean, all you have to do is go to the site and look at the most played, and I'm sure that there are probably
I think
dozens of songs.
Avocado.
Desperado. Avocado was left off. That's a big one. We replaced Avocado.
Was there nothing about Chaputzvah?
No, there was no Chaputzvah. We didn't have Putin on the Spritz. That's a classic.
Which did pretty well last year. I love that one.
Larry King dying on air. We cut out.
Intergalactic Howard Feynman. That seems like an oversight.
We replaced that with 3DP this year.
Yes. The new updated Howard Feynman rap song.
Yeah, so I think that, it'll be up to the Littles to tell us how much we screwed up.
One
sure
show
no one
more
listen at this point.
That was like one of the first epic ones.
Like Andy Poley's song.
Oh, the Andy Poley song.
Oh, yeah, the $200.
Saw,
I had that one on my list and then took it off because I had it on there last year. Yeah, just not enough.
Well, if you're going to have a whole bracket of chatter songs, then it's,
My final thought is, this is all nonsense, and nobody should take any of this seriously.
I don't know what I'm talking about. 18 hours preparing for this.
It is unclear.
Well, so that between the average of the four of us, we would have spent 18 hours between us. That's why.
Yeah. So 18 divided by four. What's that, Steve?
Too much. 4.5.
Yeah. Each. So we each spent 4.5 hours working on this, which is about the length amount of time of this podcast. So it works out.
It's true. It's a good point.
All right, guys. Well, this was fun. I appreciate everybody here. And for those of you listening, you missed out on an hour of technical difficulties as we try to get this started. So it has gone well into the night, but I'm glad we're able to get it done. And it's been a lot of fun. So the podcast continues tomorrow. This will come back again next year. And thanks, everybody, for listening.
We talking about brackets, man. I mean, how silly is that? Brackets. What are we even talking about? Brackets. Brackets, man. Brackets. J-Bab Sports Chick. Ow.